We'll do this anyway.
Let's overreact. I'm so ready.
You had a chance to watch the Guardians game yesterday. They beat Kansas City in 10. 7-4 the final. I still can't stand the Ghost Runner, but that's all right. It gives me a new year to not like the Ghost Runner. In extra innings, again, I'm a big proponent of Ghost Runner after 12 innings. Dan, can you concur with that with me?
Yeah, I can find that.
All right, after 12 innings, if you want to put the Ghost Runner out there, that's fine.
I get behind that. I'm good with it.
All right, and I'll say 12 innings to bargain back to 11. How's that sound? I just don't think when you go to the 10th inning, you need to have that. I know they want to speed up the game. What was yesterday, like 244 or something like that?
It was a even COVID with extra innings thing that for some reason we kept because teams complained about their bullpens getting blown out in series and all of that kind of stuff. And some of it I understand, but there's another part of me that thinks there was a better answer than us all throwing our hands up in the air and deciding to put a zombie runner at second base.
Yeah, let's play, you know, Sunday night soft pitch.
Right. Yeah, it makes softball sense when you have to get off slow the pitch field so that the next group can get on. I get it in that regard. But, yeah, I can't stand a thing either. But here we are. It's in the rules. It's a reality.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it didn't matter. It helped the Guardians. So, you know, you go back and watch yesterday's game. All right, give me your overreactions to the Guardians undefeated so far this season. I know, you know, there's only 161 to go, but they are undefeated. Let's not forget that.
Emmanuel Clase is fine.
Why do you say he's fine?
Because the velocity was right where it was last year. The breaking stuff was right where it was last year.
What did he top out at yesterday? You know?
Topped out at 101. Yeah. Or 100.1, I should say, is where he topped out according to StatCast data. There was a botched play in between. Jose Ramirez probably should have had that ball. Vinny Pasquatina hopped on him. Like, yes, I know we're in a world where two-pitch pitchers are getting hit a little bit more than they used to be, but he's fine. Don't freak out. It's not like, oh my gosh, he screwed up in the playoffs and now he screwed up on round one. He's broken. Like,
no, I don't think he's
pump
broken.
The brakes.
All right. I'm not overreacting. I do think it's something to keep your eye on, though. Can you come back to that?
Something to keep your eye on? Okay. I'll listen to that one. Sure. Anytime a closer blows a save, you keep an eye on it. But it's like, I am not freaking out. And by that, I mean, like, there should be some level of wiggle room with Emmanuel Clase. Like, dudes don't. There's a reason why there's one Mariano Rivera and not, like, 20 Mariano Riveras. Like, there's a reason why. Because guys who throw like that are so rare. And I think Emmanuel Clase is a rare, rare person, but it's not Mariano Rivera. Okay, that's why I'm like, pump the brakes. It's okay. He's still one of the best closers in baseball. He's still borderline unhittable. Everybody settle down. It's going to be okay.
All right, I'm going to give you this one. What's more the norm after one game? I can't believe I'm asking this question.
Let's do it.
Kyle Manzardo, the amazing day he had yesterday with three hits, a double, a triple, and a home run, or Brian Rocchio just coming away with a walk yesterday? What's more the norm? It's a good question. I like that we play this game if you want to. More the norm.
I like that. I thought Rocchio had a couple good at-bats as well. Like, I didn't think he looked overmatched. I didn't think he looked lost. I want Kyle Manzardo to get 400 at-bats. Are you with me on that? You want to see more of Kyle Manzardo?
Like, yeah.
Get him 400 plate appearances, please. Because I think that dude can hit, and I think he can help out, and I don't think he's going to hit, you know, what did they say? He was on pace to hit like seven, you know, or what was it? I saw it floating around where he was like on pace to hit 300 home runs or something along those lines. Like, it's not going to do anything like that, but like, the guy's a really good hitter, and he clearly found something in the playoffs, and I think you're going to see it the rest of the way, and I think he's going to be a really good hitter, and I think he hits 20 to 25 out, but like,
I was more excited about the fact that he's on pace to have, what, 648 RBI.
That's it. That was the one that I saw floating around. But, like, the Rocchio front is it's one game, pump the brakes. I think he's going to be fine. Are you okay with Brian Rocchio? Like,
yeah, I'm going to. I mean, what else are we going to do right now? I'm okay with it.
You could do other things.
Who didn't love Brian Rocchio in the playoffs last year? Who didn't? I did.
And he had a good spring.
And it made me forget about the regular season for the times I'd be like, oh, boy. Don't we have anybody else that could hit? I there were times I thought that throughout the season. And then during the playoffs, I'm like, you know what? Gamer, look at this. Showed up for when it really counts. Mm-hmm. And we need him right now. And you know, I don't know. He got a big confidence boost from me. I'm not that he needed it from me, but he boosted my faith in him during the playoffs last year. And you know, you're batting ninth. So what'd you think about Ramirez hitting second? Overreaction theory.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. I hope they keep it that way. I hope he keeps hitting there. Reason being is that you end up with more at-bats. I know it's not a huge difference between two and three, but at least you got somebody on before him. In modern baseball, you want your best hitter hitting second. That's where you hit him.
Why? Explain that to somebody that someone said, what do you mean modern baseball? What is that supposed to mean?
So the best way to describe this is that remember when you used to build the lineup in Little League?
Mm-hmm.
And you would always just go, okay, I'm going to take all of my best kids and I'm going to hit them at the top, and all of my worst kids, I'm going to hit them at the bottom.
Oh, no, the captain always got to hit first if you rotated the captain by day. Well, but they were also the one that had to bring, well, back in my day, they would bring pop and donuts for after the game. Now I'm sure it's all healthy stuff.
Well, and you always had the one coach who was like, I'm going to spread the outs throughout my lineup, so then that way I don't have a bottom that's a mess. Like, you would always have that coach who, like, overthought that stuff too.
No, my favorite was this one. Coach, why am I hitting eighth? Oh, double cleanup, man. That's why you're in this spot.
Double
when the coach
cleanup.
In the back of the coach's mind is like, kid, you suck, and I think you're going to give us three outs, son, every time you get up to the plate. So
because you have a lot of great qualities, and hitting a baseball isn't one of them. It's the same general idea that we did back in Little League is now finding its way into Major League Baseball, where it's like, all right, the better players hitting at the top of the lineup will get more at bats than the guys at the bottom of the lineup. So have those guys up there at the top of the lineup so that your best players get the most at bats. That's why. So, like, you know, we would always think, okay, so the leadoff guy is your fast guy. Now it's like the leadoff guy is your best hitter, who probably is a little quick too. Like, or your guy who gets on base the most. You know, your second hitter is the guy who's the most versatile with the bat, can bunt, can hit and run, can do all that kind of stuff. Now it's like your second hitter is the guy who can hit the ball over the fence because, and is your best hitter because we want him to have the second most at bats. Like, that's the way you got to think of it now, if that makes more sense.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
No, it totally makes sense. I get it. I still think you want somebody fast who's at the top of your lineup and the bottom of the lineup too. I don't know why. I always think 1 and 9 should always be fast. Because if 9 gets on, then you've got the hitters to get him in on the other side. I don't know why. I don't know. Maybe that's just old school philosophy. Do you agree with that? The 9 needs to be fast too. Or maybe 9 is the guy that can't hit, so he's got to compensate for that by being fast.
Maybe now that we've thrown out the idea of having the pitcher having to hit, yeah, I could get behind that, sure. But the guy who's down there is down there because you don't want him to hit. I mean, I know it sounds really blunt and kind of mean, but that's where it is. In the same way that, like, you know, everybody listening out there has filled up the Little League lineup and you've gone, okay, who do we really not want to hit? Okay, you're going to hit second to last so that it doesn't look like I'm totally
burying. Yeah, but should we really
be
doing this in the bigs? I mean, there's a reason why these guys make professional baseball.
But at one point,
those guys were probably the best hitter on their team and probably the best hitter on the team that they played on for a decade.
Yeah.
Think about that. I mean, you know, it's the whole Casey Blake thing, right? Like, how many guys would say Casey Blake was 4A when he was here? And there were days when I was in the dugout getting ready to do post-game interviews with the Indians, and I would hear fans, even in Cleveland, they were just all over Casey screaming 4A this, and why aren't you in the minors, and why aren't you? And there were times I wanted to turn around and just go, you realize that the guy you're ripping right there, and I know you paid a lot of money for those seats, is probably 10 times better than any guy you've ever stepped on the field with.
It's very true.
And I was like, I always, when people would start heckling and stuff like that, yeah, it's funny, but I didn't pay to come to a game to listen to you heckle. I got to be honest with you. So if you're a heckler guy and you're doing it more than once or twice a game, uncle, that, like, no one wants to hear from you. Like, if you throw out one good zinger, all right, that's funny. I can live with it. That's creative. But if you're throwing out 4 or 5 zingers a game, like, no one came there to see you, I can guarantee you. And if they did, you should be doing stand-up somewhere where someone will pay money to see you go heckle. I'm that guy. Sorry.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be mean about it, but if you feel the need to heckle at these games, like, what are you doing? What's wrong with your life? Sorry.
You're fine. Hitting is...
More than once. Look, I appreciate a good zinger every once in a while.
Hitting is really, really hard. And if you ever need proof of that, just... Go to YouTube, type in Pitching Ninja, and enjoy.
It's
really hard.
You want a dose of reality about how hard it is to hit in Major League Baseball? Just go to a batting cage where they can zing that thing up to even 80 or 90.
Mm-hmm.
And then see if they can put it up to 100. Because I'm telling you, when someone's throwing 100 miles an hour at you, You don't see the ball.
Well, and
we see it on TV like it looks like it's so easy. It's not.
To totally derail this, Chipper Jones was on a podcast and they asked him about hitting now, and he's like, there's no way in hell I could hit now. He's like, I couldn't do it. He's like, the fact that they've got 95 to 100 perpetually coming, the breaking balls they're throwing now, these pitch labs, all that kind of stuff. He's like, no way. It's like, I couldn't hang now. There's no way I would be able to hang with these guys. Like, hitting is really hard. So that's the other side of it with all that kind of stuff. I liked Jose Hinton's. Like, did you like it? Because you come at it from a little bit more of a traditional standpoint.
No, I'm good with it. Look, the first thing I thought of when I saw it in the lineup yesterday, I was like, okay, good. They're going to get him more at-bats. That was the only thing I could think of. Like, I don't have a problem with that. Are you okay with your three hitter going 1-for-5? Can Lane Thomas do better than that? I don't know. I'm sure. Again, it's one
game.
That's
my question.
It's one game.
Lane Thomas hitting third was a little funky. I don't know if I love that.
Who else are you putting there?
Carlos Santana.
He did go 2-for-4 yesterday.
Heck, after what he did yesterday, Kyle Manzardo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's face it. I mean, Manzardo may have seen good pitches because Santana was ahead of him in the lineup.
That's a good point.
I mean, but together, those guys were 4 of the 7 hits. So, or 4 of their 10 hits, sorry. They had 10 hits yesterday. Is that right?
Might be.
No, runs. Well, no, I'm looking at runs. But let's say I was 4 of 10, too. Yeah, they had 4 hits each. Manzardo had 3 and Santana had 1. Give me any other overreaction theater stuff you may have from one game.
The big thing that I would take away from it, especially the Class A side, I think Class A is fine. I think, we just had MLB Network on right here. They did a whole thing on what's wrong with Emmanuel Class A. I don't think anything's wrong with him. I think he's fine. Like, I think anybody who is losing their mind over Emmanuel Class A and worrying about Emmanuel Class A, it's okay. It's all going to work out. He's going to be fine. You know, the velocity is going to get higher as the temperature gets warmer on top of it. It's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. I think the bullpen is still going to be stellar. God, Kate Smith, once again, holy smokes, that dude is just, he is everything you want to be and then some. So that was really good to see too.
Threw 11 strikes yesterday, 15 pitches.
I got one in-game thing that we definitely need to hit on, but can I be generous first?
Yeah, be generous.